How do you like it? More, more, more.
You know that song?
How do you like it? How do you like it?
Hey, that's all I know.
Welcome back to another episode of Enjoy the Podcast. I am your host, Jared Brady. And yes, I got lovely Los in the building.
I'm in the jungle.
And I got JD's Gyms in the house. And we have a very, very special guest. All right, we got Keandra. She is a licensed therapist. She's amazing at what she does. I actually did a video with you with Shan. When was that?
That was like 2-3 years ago. Yeah. That was a minute
was
ago.
Was it that long ago?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, wow. I remember when you came over and we did that episode, and I remember telling you, I need to go to therapy, which is so, I still haven't went. I'll tell you that. I still
see
haven't
my
went.
Face? Three years later, Jared? Come on now.
I know. I'm dropping the ball. How did you even get into being a therapist? Like, what led you on that path?
That's a good question. So, honestly, my own drama and trauma led me to it. So, a lot of people don't know the backstory of how I came to, but I came from a divorced family. My parents divorced when I was 10. Domestic violence, physical abuse, verbal abuse. Yeah. At the same time, my sister got pregnant when she was 15 and a half. So my whole family was just going through a whole bunch of chaos, drama, craziness, right? And so I think that was like the root of it all.
Yeah.
So I figured if I could make it out successfully, you know, all of the things that I have done, like I can give back and help other people through that.
Yeah.
So most therapists come from their own drama.
That's
like,
the
let's
damn
be real.
True.
Cheers to that.
Let's be
cheers
real.
To that. Oh, I didn't even let you do
oh,
the cheers.
I need mine.
No, you're good. You're
y'all
good.
Not leaving me out.
Cheers to that. Cheers
I
to
mean,
that.
It's coffee.
Hey, you know, it gets the job
counts,
done.
It counts.
I can reach.
It gets the job done. Well, I mean, you know what's interesting about that? I feel like, and you can interject if this is real or not, but I feel like there's not a lot of men who go to trauma or go to therapy. And I don't know if that's true.
Can I interject first?
Yeah.
I don't think that's as true as we think it
as
is.
As it is, yeah, huh?
I think it's somewhat true.
Yeah.
I don't think there's as many men that go as there should be. But
yeah.
I think more men probably go than we realize. I don't think
that's
men
true.
Talk about going.
That's
I think
true.
We keep it to ourselves if we do go. I don't personally go, but
I don't know, like, the official statistic of it, but I think historically women tend to go to therapy way more than men, hands down, right?
Yeah.
Then we're not even going to get to people of color. That's a whole nother statistic right there.
The numbers
but
are just dropping
just
with
dropping.
Each, yeah, with each.
But session. I honestly feel like, as of lately, there's been more men that I have been come that has been coming to my practice.
Yeah.
And I just think this, because everything that's happening in general,
these
black bodies and, you know, killings and everything that's out there, people are like, no, we got trauma that we need to address.
Yeah.
And in order for us to heal our future generations and our children, like, we have to deal with our own crap.
Yeah.
So I think black men and men in general are starting to come more, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like, I am here for it. And, you know, we talk a lot about therapist of color, and while we're out here, we're thriving, we're amazing, right? Like, you can come see a therapist that's, you know, young, millennial, popping, natural hair,
get it,
you
get
know,
it,
all
get
of
it.
That.
Camera zooms in.
You know, zoom on in. But on the real side, it's like historically, therapy has been like black. I'm sorry, not black. Has been white males who are therapists, right? So when you get someone such as myself and a different culture of people coming out and like, hey, I'm a therapist too, and I can help you navigate your life. Like it's becoming like this culture. This I don't know how to explain it. Like mental health is becoming a hot topic, and I love it so much. Like I'm so excited about it.
Do you notice pushback at all when you tell people you're a therapist because of the indoctrinated kind of view of how we assume a therapist looks and is? Like, because I'll be honest, like as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, like, damn, as I was growing up, the picture that was drawn for me as a therapist was like a bald old
white guy
with glasses,
right? That's like, how does that make you feel?
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, I'm this
lively
and popping in my therapy sessions.
But see, that to your point, Los, that's exactly why I think it'd be the opposite effect. Because if I'm a black person, male or female, and I'm having a hard time going to therapy, number one, and then number two, I'm like, how can this old, bald, white guy relate to me? And I see someone like you, I'm like, can I have your business card?
I'm more likely
to go to you.
That's the truth. So I guess, you know, to piggyback off of what you just said, what is the number one sign that someone can look into themselves and say, oh, you know what? I might need therapy.
Mm. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say, what's the number one sign that needs therapy?
Hey, we can go there too.
The astrology
low
signs?
Key, low key.
That's where you
were going. Hey, what are you? I'm a Virgo.
Aquarius.
Libra.
Aries.
Dang.
Does it all make sense?
Aries.
Right.
So, but as, if someone is thinking about their life, thinking about their experiences, mm-hmm. what is the gauge to know? Like, you may need therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, you may need to take a look into this. Is there a sign, or is it like everybody should go?
I feel like there's like two for me. I know we were talking offline before, and I was saying that, and this kind of even goes back to what I was talking about when we did our last video with Shan. When you know internally, like something is a little off, like you're just not 100% good, you know, and you can't always pinpoint it. You can't say, well, it was because of my dad leaving me when I was 8. Like sometimes you can't always pinpoint that. You just don't feel right, you know, whether that is depression, whether that is anxiety, trauma, sexual abuse, whatever that is, you just know internally, like I'm not good, right? Yeah. So that's kind of like an indicator for me. And when I say I'm not good, like, I feel like that resonates with people of color a lot, but in other spaces, they would be like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, are you crying? Yeah. Or are you, you know, like all of these symptoms? And I'm like, sometimes you can't always put words to stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like that internal knowing. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the first thing. If it's just a little bit off, I would say don't wait.
Yeah.
Because we wait too late. Even in couples therapy, there's a statistic that says like couples come to therapy 7 years too late.
Jesus.
So think about the
7 years.
That means you should have been on my couch so 7 years ago.
That means that's like as soon as you get married, you need to be in therapy. Like start right away.
Literally.
He's raising his hand.
There you go.
Hey, therapy's legit.
We are. Yeah. And so I said this maybe on the episode for trauma. To your point about married couples going to therapy, one of my really close friends who I look up to his marriage, he told me when I found out that they go to marital therapy, I'm like, you guys? In my head, I'm like, I'm doomed because if you guys are going to therapy, there's no hope for me, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, why would you say that? And he said, people make the mistake of going to therapy when it's too late, number one. And number two, I'm going to therapy with my wife to maintain what you consider goals, as opposed to trying to fight to get back to it. Because at that point, odds are, it's too late.
Yep.
So my wife and I were going to premarital therapy. And also, obviously.
Why are you always laughing, bro?
No, I'm not laughing at the concept of premarital therapy. That's dope. When I hear certain words and things, you understand, I'm starting to think I have like mental Tourette's.
Asperger's,
thank you. I hear one word and it'll take me somewhere else and it'll make me giggle. So when he said premarital therapy, it made me think premarital sex. He wasn't having any and it just made him whole
How
moment.
Did you
in my,
get way?
I don't know.
We're booking him a session after this. That's the final
Actually,
conclusion.
Jared and I are going to go upstairs and Los will sit here and you guys can have a whole hour.
I don't know how it works.
And
I
the
don't
cameras,
know how
send him a full invoice
connects.
After that.
And listen, the cameras,
for the full price.
The cameras may or may not be rolling while he's sat here with you. But anyways.
I might send him premarital. Two invoices because it seems like a lot, so I'm going to double it.
I'll pay for one. Jared will pay for the other. Don't even worry. It's not enjoy the podcast. Don't even worry about
that.
So you're having premarital therapy sessions.
So Jared asked you a great question, which is what is a sign that someone would need therapy? I mentioned earlier that in another episode that I've been in therapy since I was 9. I was obviously brought into it with my mom bringing me to the therapist, but I stayed in it. You know, I obviously had a choice at a certain point in time. And the reason why I stayed in it is because that was the only thing that I found answers to all of my questions from childhood stuff to why I am in certain relationships that I'm in, why I act a certain way that I'm, you know, when I'm in a relationship, I have a daughter, you know, trying to get this all together, break the lineage curse, so on and so forth. So for me, I think it was just, I always say like, if someone wants to be better, they have to want that. You know, it's in that sentence. The word want is everything. If someone's telling you to go to therapy and you just show up like, I'm only here because my wife sent me, you know what I mean? Like, good luck.
I get that all
you
the time.
Know what I'm saying? So that like that's the biggest thing, but that comes from awareness.
Yeah.
Number one, and correct me, please, you're the expert here. And the other thing is acceptance. Mm. I'm aware that I need to accept that I need to make changes and I want to.
I love it. That's the key, wanting to, yeah. right? And, I think yeah. you, like, first of all, shout out to your mama.
Yeah. yeah.
She had enough, like, wherewithal and yeah. enough knowledge to put you in therapy. I think yeah. there's a lot of parents who don't even think that, right? Mm-hmm, they mm-hmm, may go mm-hmm. to the church, girl, we got to pray for you. We yeah. got to lay hands, bring out the oil.
That
you know?
Is what it is. That's Listen. What that's mm-hmm. what I think, and that leads to a different, that made my brain go crazy because that was what was passed to me.
Yep.
You know,
Same
it was
thing
like
here. Grew up in the church and that was like, oh, you go to God first. You don't mm-hmm. need therapy. Therapy's for white people. Yeah. Therapy's for crazy people.
My mom's white. That's the disclaimer. Oh. so no, you're good. Full circle.
Shout out full to circle. Your white mama. That's hey!
Full circle. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's the answer though. It doesn't even matter though.
No, but you're right. Like you said, it's for white people. My white mom, you said shout out to my mom. She's white.
Okay. Yeah. And I think to even go back to what you were saying, going back to your original question about like, what are the signs? Mm-hmm. Like we were talking earlier about sometimes you can go to therapy when things are going well in yeah. your life. Like you don't always have right. to go when things are a shit show, right? Like, yeah. again, that's too late, right? Yeah. Like when everything is awry and mm-hmm. you about to go to jail and yeah. you know, all of these crazy things happen. It's too late by then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay to process the good stuff that's happening right. in your life. Like, right. I believe every therapist should have a therapist. So I go see a therapist.
Ooh, interesting.
Right? Like y'all giving me all y'all stuff. I yeah. got to release it to somebody
sure.
too.
Yeah. Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I have been processing with her lately, even though with COVID and all of these negative things happening, like the good that's been mm-hmm. happening. Like mm-hmm. Beyonce recognized my business.
What?
Y'all didn't know?
No.
See, look, y'all, Whoa. Hold on.
Yo, you've been touched by the B?
The B.
what? You got to give us a story.
Beyonce and yeah. the NAACP recognized my business out of 17,000 people for their social impact.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so massive.
And I almost passed out.
I'm sure. I'm yeah. sure.
Like, yeah. almost passed out, but I had to process it because I was like, wow, out of 17,000 businesses, like, you chose yeah. me, right? Wow. And I have a tendency, Beautiful. Just as a person, to, like, move on to the next thing, mm. right? Of, like, mm. oh, okay, Beyonce recognized me. That's great. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I need to soak this in mm-hmm. because it came with a check.
Yeah. Ooh.
See, that's different.
Hey, now.
When they recognize and they reward, it just hits a little
it
bit different.
It's
different.
Yeah. It's a little different. It had a comma different. In it and some zeros. Mm. So,
we love that. We
yes.
love that.
So
That's amazing.
I had to soak it in. You yeah. know, so. Yeah. I want to encourage people too, like just soak in the good stuff that's happening. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. you don't always have to go to therapy for the not so good. We got enough of that,
yeah,
right? right? Like sometimes right. your therapist want to hear something good too, mm-hmm. you know, about you. Like, right. yo, like tell me something good. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I do with my clients when they first come in is like, tell me something good that happened. Because mm-hmm. they have the tendency to go straight to the bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. For me, that was like, when I think of therapy, I think of like, dang, I got to go here because I'm fucked up. I got to go here because I'm all twisted up inside and I need to get it untangled.
Yeah.
But you said something to me offline that kind of got me thinking was like, you have to process the good. You know, like we're taught to not really, I mean, for me, and I can't speak for everyone else, but like I kind of am programmed to shy away from compliments. I'm kind of programmed to like
too.
Not
mm-hmm.
accept, are, yeah. you know, yeah. not mm-hmm. accept the good things and being mm-hmm. like, okay, that's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to move that to the side and figure out what's wrong. And, you know, that kind of was like a mind like explosion for me when you told me that, because I was like, dang, you're right. I did have a lot of good. I bought a house. I got a baby. Like these things need to be processed yeah. because it is good to
and
process
celebrated.
Them and celebrated. So yeah. like that's yeah. such an interesting way mm-hmm. of looking at it. A reversal of therapy of like, no, therapy is just to process things that happen in life,
mm-hmm. period.
Good and mm-hmm. bad, mm-hmm. you know. And so.
Well, the other thing, too, Jay, is like people always ask, you know. When so things are good, right? And people are like, why are you still going to therapy? It's like, so what I always put a spin on them. I'm like, okay, you go to the gym, right? And you're in shape. That guy's supposed to just, that girl's supposed to just stop going to the gym. I got no. my six pack. I'm good now. No. It's the same thing with therapy. It's yeah. like,
it's people, a gym for your mind.
It's a gym for your mind, yes.
Ooh,
but,
I like that.
Yeah. And you got to, if you don't use it, you know what I'm saying? You yeah. lose it kind of thing. So yeah. for anyone out there, like it's beautiful what you said, Jay, is like, I think people, when they think of therapy, the first emotion is probably negative. Oh, mm. something's wrong with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, I got to go fix this. Mm. It's like, well, no. There's multiple reasons as to why you'd go to therapy. And like you guys are saying, a lot of it is good. So I think it's important that people understand that in case they're thinking about therapy. It's like, it's not just going to be a you know, depressing moment to go walk into the door, sit in the couch. I'm here, fix me. It's like, no, let's just have a conversation mm-hmm. and let's work through all the good and the bad that you're going through.
Yeah, and I think because we're talking about both sides, like the good and the bad, people will probably feel like, dang, I'm going to be in therapy forever.
Yeah.
like
I'm cool with that.
Like forever, ever. And I feel like there are people who love therapy.
I love it.
To the point where they go too, I can't say too much, but they use it as a crutch, right? Versus like them trying to problem solve and figure out their own issues, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I can take you a certain step, but I'm like, let me see if you learn what I taught you. Mm-hmm. The stuff we didn't process, like, let me see if you can really work it. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, you don't have to go like every week, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. I think when moments of time pop up in your life, like, you should go, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. say for me, I have been in therapy for almost the last decade. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been every week, but it's been mm-hmm. on and off when things pop up, mm-hmm. you know, good and bad and in between. So mm-hmm. I don't want people to feel like they're doomed, like, dang, I'm gonna be in therapy for the rest of my life, spending all these hundreds of dollars. But it's just like, go as needed.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How does someone know enough is enough for therapy?
So that's when your therapist, who's supposed to be a good therapist and mm-hmm. not just taking mm-hmm. your money,
right,
you know, when your clients have hit a goal mm-hmm. or a marker. So most mm-hmm. of my clients come in with a goal, or I help them say, okay, well, look, you're trying to have a better relationship, right? Or you're trying to become less anxious, or mm-hmm. whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. We have a treatment plan, mm-hmm. right? And so once you start hitting the markers and them goals, it's like, you know what? I think you can fly yeah. on your own, little birdie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you can't come back to therapy.
Yeah.
It just means maybe we should, what we call discharge for now. Mm. See what you do out there on your own.
Yeah.
And if you flying and soaring and, you know, doing cool, you don't need me anymore.
Yeah. Right.
But if you come into a bump in the road, you can always come back.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Think it's just, you know, once you feel like you're hitting those markers and those mm-hmm. goals, that's when it's time to kind of like pull back.
Yeah.
And I ask that for selfish reasons, to be completely honest with you, because I go to
like, when should I end?
No, yeah. No. Well, because I so COVID allotted a lot of time in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not working. I want to get better. Let me up my therapy game. As it was, I was going once a week, mm-hmm. right? And then we moved to virtual, as we talked about offline. And then I was going twice a week for myself and then once with my wife. So I was in therapy 3 times a week. Wow. From.
And I will honestly say that's a lot.
It is a lot, yeah. And I was, and this was like February to like June, July. Okay. Every single week, I was like hitting it. But it was working. And when the work works, just like this, I'm bringing it back to the gym. Hey. When you start to see results in your body, you become obsessed, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be an unhealthy obsession. But for me, I started to see results in my marriage, my relationship with my daughter, my relationship with my friends, and just overall, especially mentally, I started to see results. So I became obsessed with it.
Mm.
But one thing that I always like, always hone in on is I can sit on the therapy couch or we can do virtual 3 times a week, all I want. But if I'm not applying what I'm actually learning, you know, the action, right, of it, that how many clients do you know that just show up every week
and
it's the same problem different day and you're like, why are you even here? You're not applying.
Some of my clients, I'm like, why are you paying me? Because
right.
literally you're coming in saying the same thing every week. I'm giving you tools,
right.
suggestions, recommendations, and you're not applying it. You know what I mean? And yeah. that blows my mind. I think some people are just naturally stuck in some places, right? Yeah. And that's why I say, if you've ever listened to me, I say that I'm therapeutically ruthless because I have that loving, kind, nurturing effect. Mm-hmm. But I also give you a little kick in the butt too, like, bruh.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll have candid conversations with my clients like, mm-hmm. so you told me that last week, but you sitting here not doing nothing, like, what's really good? Mm-hmm. You know, and that realness sometimes is what puts people in action.
Yes.
To like move forward.
All right, so like, I'm sitting here hearing you guys talk about therapy and all these good things about it, but how do you start, right? Like, how do you actually, like, let's say you're out there, you want to find a therapist, they just Google therapist, like, what are things to look for when you're looking for a therapist?
That's a good question. I mean, there's so many different ways to go about it. I would honestly say the first like starting point for me would be to tell people to check with their health insurance. Like if you have health insurance, they have therapists on staff, right? Mm-hmm. Where you only got to just pay your little copay. Some people's $10, $20, $5, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some people feel like their health insurance don't have people that they're looking for, right? Like I have a lot of people who come to me all the therapists was white, and I want me a black therapist, or I want me a Latino therapist, or whatever. And that's when you start looking outside of your network.
Yeah.
And so you can Google, of course, that's easy, but there's actually directories out there that's geared towards specific things that you need. So there's literally a therapy for black girls directory for black women, therapy for black men, right? There's low-cost therapy called openpathcollective.org, which is literally $30, $60 therapy sessions. Inclusive therapists, like if you're LGBTQ plus, I mean, you name it, there's directories
there's out
for
there.
It.
Yeah.
So that's one leg.
Do you know off the top of your head any of the names of those directories?
There were the names I just
said. That was
so
literally
therapy,
it.
Let me drop them. Let me drop them for you just in case people want. Therapyforblackgirls.com.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's the.
Literally.
Hey, can't beat
there you go.
Can't beat that.
Therapyforblackmen.org.
.org. There you go.
There you go.
He's a .org.
He loves a .org. He loves a good .org.
So he's like, say less.
Yeah.
That's he's funny. Openpathcollective.org is the low cost one.
Racking up the .org.
Listen, the .orgs is here.
I'm
okay.
Check out Open Path. I'm cheap.
You know what?
Go ahead and go to that site now.
He's like, let
it.
Me look it up
Open
right
path
now.
What?
Openpathcollective.org.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. You going to therapy, Los?
Yeah, I'm going to go to therapy.
Hey, don't make a commitment that you're not going to keep. Take Jared with you because Jared said he didn't go yet
couples
either.
Couples therapy?
Yeah.
You want to do some couples therapy
for you guys?
Let's go. Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's good.
Let's do it.
But how do I know which one is right for me?
It's like a relationship.
So this is where it gets tricky, right? Because after you have those phone conversations, you have to figure out, again, which one is for you. So you might try out someone who's in a particular modality or whatever, and that might not be your jam, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll have to switch to something else. So like he said, it's kind of like a relationship.
So you just have to try it out. Like you can't.
You just kind of therapist hop.
Go on a couple dates, though.
Yeah, you got to go on a couple dates. Go on some therapy dates,
That's it.
See what's popping
and
with the other person.
And you paying for it, too.
Hey, it's a real date,
it's
except
real date.
There's no chance you get lucky at the end. Zero chance.
Well, you may
the
get lucky.
Is
you
find a great therapist.
Yeah.
Unless
you're
Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry.
I know the reference. I know the reference.
Unless you're Mike Lowry. Yeah.
Dang it. He slept with his therapist?
Yeah.
Oh, he
did.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did.
But speaking of dating, me and Shannon got some flack over the therapy situation because I said in the last episode that I got over a lot of my trauma from being in a relationship with Shan. And it was a trigger for a lot of women because they felt
dumping
like
your problems on her.
Yep. They felt like they've been in relationships with men where we use our girlfriends, our wives as the therapist. Oh, and what do you think on that
Not
subject
me. I
alone?
Don't do that.
And I'll give you two points. I'll give you that question.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll give you the question of, like, do you find that when you go on dates, do men, when they find out that you're a therapist, try to
Do your friends try to get free sessions on you?
Or they run.
Hey, girl, can I ask you something real quick?
Or they run.
Yeah.
They probably run.
First of all, I love you and Shan. Like, you guys are one of my favorite couples of all times. Like, when y'all call, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Where? How? Like, easy peasy. Easy yes for you guys. And what I believe that you were talking about, and I tell people this all the time, is you can be in a relationship with someone and it be a corrective experience for you. Mm-hmm. So that means you can be with someone who literally secures all of your insecurities or majority of them, and you start to heal some of those wounds, some of that trauma, right? And I think that's kind of what you were getting to. Like, you found a life partner with someone who just gets you.
Yep.
Y'all gel well. You know, the BS that you experienced in previous relationships are not the case here.
Yeah.
And it feels good, right? And so it wasn't you dumping all of your stuff on her, or she dumping all of her stuff on you. Like, you guys just gelled well together, and it's healing, you know? And if people are mad about that, then they need to get their life.
Yeah, and you know the thing, what it was like, I had because it got me thinking about it, and I was like trying to figure it out, like what triggered you this way. And I think a lot of it was because they'd probably been in a relationship where somebody dumped all of their problems, and then they couldn't elevate the partner after them trying to fix them. And so what really was for me, why I changed when I got with Shan, was because I cared enough about myself when I got with her, because I was like, I need to be a better version of me. So I was elevating myself because of Shan. Shan wasn't like challenging me to elevate. It was more of the other way around. Like, dang, she's such a great woman. I need to get my shit together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I was just bringing my baggage and throwing it on her.
Yeah.
Because I think most people, the misconception is that you need to be whole before you get in a relationship. No, that's not necessarily true. You need to find yourself. You know, I think what it really is you need to find somebody that is going to not challenge you, but going to inspire you to become whole.
You want to find the complimenter.
The complimenter.
Not the complicator. Come on now.
But yeah, so.
That's really good, Jay.
Yeah. That is super good. Go ahead. Well, my mind is going all over the place.
I'm
going to
give you more.
Okay, go for it.
So he just gave me the alley-oop, man. I got you. So for me, I'm realizing right now I did that in my marriage. So my therapist in June hit me with something that completely blew my mind, changed my life forever, and 1,000% saved my youth of a marriage.
Wow.
We were 8 months in, and he saved it. Mm-hmm. And he gave me this. He said, only you can complete you. My wife kept telling me, I feel like I'm not enough for you. You make me feel like I'm not good enough for you. No matter what I do is not enough. I'm constantly uphill battle with no reward. It's almost like I am taking, right? And not giving.
Yeah.
And that's why I think a lot of women had triggers. So side note. So he told me, he said, what is it going to take to make you happy? And I was like that was the hardest question someone's ever asked me. That should be a layup of it. That should be an easy.
Yeah.
It's not though. It is truly not. And so I had to really dig deep. And he was so good. He said, now, because I gave him a couple answers, he said, of those answers you gave me, how many of those can your wife do for you? Zero.
None.
Zero was the response, is the correct answer. And I went in the house that day, and I might as well have won the lottery. I was jumping up for joy. I'm like, babe, I got it. I figured it out. Like, I felt like I finally got the master key to all the locks. And I told her, I said, it's not you, it's me. I have to truly work on what it's going to take for me to be happy for me, with me. And I apologize for putting that on you. Because I did. I was like, you need to fix this. You need to do that. You're the missing piece to my puzzle. Do something.
Yeah.
And we could be good. And she was like, hold on. I said, what? And I was like, and I remember looked at her. I was like, no good?
Yeah.
I swear to you. I was like, what's the problem? What don't you understand?
Happiness is an internal job, period, right? Like, there is no person that can make you truly happy. That has to come from within.
Yeah,
so when we think about getting into these relationships with people, what is the percentage of any of us being 100% whole? That's literally impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally impossible. So if we're waiting to be 100% before we get with someone or whatever, it's probably never going to happen. So you have to come into the relationship with broken pieces of yourself. But again, that goes back to that wanting to fix it, the wanting to do better, wanting to change and do all of those things. And I think the people who got triggered by that comment from you were just literally feeling like probably jealousy. Let's call it what it is. Like, dang, he got this. They got all of that.
Mm.
And why couldn't I get that?
Mm.
Right? Or why the last guy I dated, you know, couldn't be what Jared is to Shan,
see,
you know?
And that's what I think
and
it is.
And comparison. Yeah.
Projecting on
you. The thief of joy.
Mm-hmm. Man.
But I wonder if a lot of women, right, who were just giving to these men, and these men were taking.
Yeah.
Now these men are leaving. They're leaving the relationship.
Leaving.
Okay?
They're like, bye.
They're leaving the relationship with all that they took from her. And they're better on to the next. And this poor girl is sitting there like, thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
I just elevated you.
Yo,
and
that's
then,
a question I want to ask.
What am I left
But then
with?
It goes back to boundaries, right? Like, at some point, if you're giving a man everything or your partner everything, right? Like, at some point, when is the other person, when are you going to say
Shame
enough
on
is
you.
Enough? Shame on you. So it goes both ways, right? Like, you have to know, like, okay, I've been pouring into this person and there's no reciprocity. I talk about this all the time. Like, relationships should be reciprocal in some areas, right? And if they're not, we need to reevaluate and say, hold on. I've been giving you my joy, my happiness, my peace, my money, my time, and you haven't given me anything.
Right.
Then maybe you're not the one that I should be in relationship with at this time.
So I have this thing. I personally feel like men change for two reasons.
Tell me what the two reasons are.
Women or money. In your experience as a therapist, if and when men come to you and you've seen some real progress, some real change, what is it ultimately the result of?
I never thought about those two like that.
Take your time.
I just stumped the therapy. I
think it's all women. Personally,
I think it's women.
I don't think we change for money. I think we all change for women. I think we you start to want to get more money because you realize you ain't gonna be able to get
more women.
You won't be able to keep a woman if you don't have any money. Anybody that I know that isn't trying to elevate his situation financially, like, he usually doesn't do very well with women and isn't very worried about that. You know what I mean? Like, I think you elevate yourself as a man purely because of women.
That's what the therapist answered.
But that's,
I honestly never thought of it that way, but I think you guys make some valid points. But I also feel like that might not be something that men just come out and say, right?
Nobody wants to admit. But we all want to be like, I did it for myself.
If it was just
for yourself, you'd be crusty-assed and just working at whatever job is going to put food on your stomach.
So from your experience, you don't. Point.
I think I agree, low key.
Hey.
If I really had to look at the men that came to see me and what their motive was or objective to like the work, doing the work, it probably was some woman at some point.
Yo ass need therapy. I'm tired of you bringing your shit in here.
And don't come back until I see the sessions, until I see the invoice. But the reason, like, you know, Jared was talking about Shan and you know, he got some flack as he's saying, but he was singing her praises on one of the last episodes, just saying like she was the catalyst of all, you know, to make me think I need to get it together. Yeah. My wife 100,000% is the same thing. So, you know, we owe it to our better halves for, you know, making us all. There you go.
Oh, it was a bee?
I was like, hold on.
You had a little fly.
It was Mike Pence's homeboy who landed on your shirt for a second.
Literally.
He pulled up on you real quick.
Literally.
That's hilarious.
I have another question for you.
And now we both have glasses on.
Got your stunning shades on.
Yeah. So
we gotta go get ours.
What's up, bro?
This could have been but you playing.
You look like Janet Jackson in Poetic Justice.
That's more accurate. I said Shaft, but that's more accurate.
You know what? Hey, bro, don't be mad I got the Fight the Power outfit on.
It's the hat.
Hold the fist up.
It's the hat. The hat is
Fight the Power.
That's the YouTube thumbnail.
As the kids say these days, it's giving me Janet Jackson and Poetic Justice vibes.
Poetic Justice.
But that's cool.
Okay.
So, JD, what you got?
So, question for you, and I'm just putting myself in the shoes of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when one person is willing to put in the work and the other isn't?
And
so lazy ass to work. That's what happens.
And in a more specific experience, because we have a lovely therapist on our set today. What happens if someone is willing and wanting to go to therapy and the other one isn't?
Listen, that happens all the time, but I tell people, like, you cannot ever try to change someone else's behavior.
Mm.
And you also can't make anybody, especially a grown man or grown individual, period, do something that they don't want
to
do.
Talk to them.
So it has to come from, it has to come internally. Mm. Now, sometimes the internal desire comes from outside pressures, right? And this is another thing that I've seen. And this is what gets people into therapy. When their partner comes and they're evolving, growing, becoming self-aware,
leaving them in the dust,
literally elevating themselves and their partner's here.
Yeah.
Right? And they see their partner growing and they're like, wait, I need to catch up, right? And so then they'll start, let me go to therapy, let me read books, let me take some classes, let me do what I need to do. And so sometimes it just takes one partner being like, yo, I'm about to leave you in the dust because my own healing and process is more important than being with you, being left behind.
No, that's important, and I guess that was kind of me in my marriage. I mean, I was starting to get into books, but then it totally changed when I realized I was the weak link in my relationship, and I was holding us back, you know. So I was like, okay, let me meet you to where you're at, and now let's elevate together, right? But I wanted it. It's back to that, you know. A lot of people just think, you know, point the finger. It's not me. It's them. It's not me. It's them. And they keep taking the same them, right, into a new relationship, trying to think they're going to get some new results. Sadly mistaken. That's not how that equation works.
I agree. And also, too, you have to realize that you have to create and cultivate an environment for your partner to grow. Mm. So if you nagging, I got to say that again.
Yes. Hey.
You got to say create.
Say it for the people in the back.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say it. I was waiting for Jaden to say it.
I knew he was gonna say that shit.
I don't remember exactly what I just said now. But you got to create an environment, right, and cultivate that environment for another person to grow. So if you nagging, you nitpicky, or are you know, blaming that person on every single thing, like, that's not going to make them want to grow, you know?
Yeah.
But just, like, lovingly encouraging them, and I think that creates an environment for that person to say, you know what? I'll at least try out this therapy thing, or I'll at least check into, you know, some of my triggers or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So for us guys, right, we're sitting here.
We're guys.
We're men.
We got room keys.
What do you think it would take? Because when you say all, I'm assuming majority of those all are men, okay, who don't want to go to therapy, right? What would it take for a man to be like, you know what? Bump that. It's a new day. I'm not the one. I'm going to go to therapy. I want to make a change. Like, aside from women, let's say someone's single, right? What would it take for men to be like, you know what?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Depression. I think it's a depression of women.
Whoa. Okay.
I can't really think of any.
Okay. That's, yeah.
That's fair.
Very valid.
I think, you know, for me, when I started to realize that sometimes my processes will be delusional, like if I experience something and it was heavier than it actually was, or if it was like something good happened and I didn't really celebrate that good thing because I'm always expecting something bad to happen.
Right.
You know, I have a tendency when things are starting to go good, I have a tendency to be like, you know what? This is going so good. Something bad is around the corner.
That's me, man.
And so those are, when I started having those type of processes, I was like, you know what? I may need to work through some of this stuff because if I'm always expecting bad to happen to me, what does that say about me, you know, as far as like my, something's off. Mm-hmm. Something's off because it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
You know?
That's me too, 100%.
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of feel like you need some of that.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable in a
comfortable situation.
A comfortable situation. I need to be on edge a little bit. I need to, you know,
keep walk, on your toes.
I get complacent, I get sloppy. I need to be I need that smoke, and I feel like I've lived in the smoke for so long that I don't necessarily, maybe that's an unhealthy thing, but I almost don't want to get out of it because I'm so used to it, and I feel like having that edge all the time is also something that drives me. You know what I mean? Keeps you on your toes. I don't want to get to a place, I don't think, where I'm not expecting, not necessarily expecting, but I'm not preparing or prepared for some shit. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe that's not healthy.
I think what you guys are both like mentioning is what we would call like a trauma response. I think a lot of people of color, like we grow up, like I grew up in Compton, right? Like we know gangs, violence, struggle life. I told y'all my parents were divorced, all of that stuff. So I was used to bad things happening. Right. Yeah. And so my body was conditioned to like something bad is about to happen. Something bad is going to, I never anticipated something good. Right. And so we grow up thinking that that's normal. And it's like that necessarily isn't. It's a response to all of the things that we've been through. Now, trust and believe, there's times where you need to grind, times where you need to be on your toes. Right. And all of that stuff. I think there's a lot of validity to what you were saying. But from that childhood perspective, like it definitely is a response that we're just so used to, and it becomes normal.
Yeah.
Well, that's like for me, I mean, and maybe it's the broken home thing, right? Because we're constantly having to move and adapt and adjust.
Is that all we have in common?
But what it also is I was saying this last time, is it's an automated negative response.
Yeah.
And you know,
he been in therapy.
The trauma thing.
He using all the therapy words. No. Okay. Hey. What is it?
It's the book. It's that book I was telling you about. So I'll let the people in on the secret, which is
share the plug.
Yeah, we might as well.
Los is so mad. Look at him.
he's rolling his eyes like, ugh. Automated negative response.
Teacher's pet.
Teacher's pet. No. I really shouldn't hate that. The work works, brother.
No, but still.
But
I think it's a good follow up, because the other question I have for you is, you know, if there's people out there who are aware and accept that they need to make some changes, yeah. whether they're in a relationship, they're single, they're dealing with some childhood stuff, whatever it is, but are still, I don't know if I could do therapy. Can we talk about some books? And the only reason why I had the automated negative response is from this book I'm reading called Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, so CBT. Mm-hmm. It's 10 strategies to deal with anxiety, depression, and childhood stuff. But I know you're an author, right? So you have two books.
Five.
Whoa.
You know,
my bad.
Let him know.
Two?
I only told him about two.
You only gave me two. So, but no, I just think, you know, if any book recommendations.
Start with yours.
Yeah. Start with yours.
So, absolutely, you got to plug yourself,
absolutely.
Right?
Of course.
So I have a book called Staying Sane in an Insane World, A Prescription for Even Better Mental Health.
Can we get any more relevant?
And I wrote that a few years ago, so I was futuristic on the title, mm-hmm. you know, because it's relevant for right now. Yeah. So that book is a small pocket-sized book, and I made it that way on purpose because nobody got time to be reading 500-page books these days, right? Yeah. So that book is out there. I have another book called Hard Work or Harmony. That's all about a go-to relationship guide for women, how to have healthy relationships with coworkers, family, friends, all of that. But some of my go-tos.
Yeah, let them know.
The Four Agreements. Mm. And I believe his name is Don Miguel.
Ruiz. Teacher's pet.
Don Miguel. Four,
take that. The Four Agreements.
Hey, I'm on your team, bro.
No, I'm shooting at Lowe's.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even roll my eyes with that one. That's fine.
You didn't have to.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
That one is a game changer. Yeah. Like, if you live your life by those four, you'll be good.
And they're the simplest four things.
They are.
It's like, it's not rocket. It's like, be kind is one of them.
Yeah.
But that's so overrated.
Or don't make assumptions.
Underrated.
And that's so hard to do.
Manage your expectations.
When you assume, you make an ass of you and me.
I mean, the first three letters of assumption is ass. So
you and me. Oh! When you assume, you make an ass of you and
look
me.
Look at this. This is beautiful.
See?
That's great.
There you go.
Good for you, Lowe's.
I know things, too.
You see how he celebrates you?
I'm happy for you, Doc.
No, I'd rather I want him to roll his eyes back.
That's an automated negative response.
Boom.
Hey, he's a therapist.
This is chess, not checkers.
I'm not even playing.
King Kong ain't got shit.
I'm not even playing.
Oh, now he's not playing.
He took his ball and went home. You're playing with yourself.
Took his ball and went home.
You're playing with yourself, but you've been playing with yourself.
So
I'm pulling
strings. You mentioned books?
Yes. My other all-time favorite is Attached. And that really goes into...
Is that attachment theory or is that something else?
Yes. It's all about attachment theory.
I don't think
we talk about enough in this world. But if you try to have a healthy relationship, you need to know your attachment style and you need to know that of your partners. Mm. Same thing with The Five Love Languages. That's one of my favorites.
Come on now.
JD loves that one.
How you loving all the ones that are?
You're preaching.
Because he's secretly a therapist.
Honestly, JD needs to just go to college. You need to just go to college,
just
get your degree.
Already.
Yeah, just get your degree, bro.
No.
Low key, you should. And then you know what? If you do that, I can't roll my eyes at you.
And you can't take away JD's gems. Because if I go to college,
He's done.
No,
I'm going to have a whole Rolodex.
No, I'm definitely taking it away then.
No,
if my therapist was like, are you ready for a gem? I'd be like, nah, bro.
Anyways.
Not ready for you to drop gems.
So in my last relationship, that was the first relationship where I had premarital therapy, which we were just, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. But nonetheless, I was like, I want to figure this out. I want to be better. I'm the common denominator. And, and our therapist at the time recommended Attached. She recommended The Five Love Languages first because it's kind of like a dumbed down version of Attached. Yeah. is heavy. Mm. Attached
will get your whole life
together. And,
but you got to be ready for it.
And I'm going to let you explain the book. This is your platform right now, but can you just give people a little bit of a brief of what the three attachment styles are?
Yeah. So there's actually a few other ones that have been up in the air, but there's a secured attachment style, which is the one that we're all striving for, that we want to be.
It's
like The anchor.
Mm.
Not too many people are securely attached, even though that's the goal. Then you have anxious attachment style, right? Which is kind of like the fear of people leaving you. You know what I mean? Or, you know, like you raising your hand. That's you.
Well, it's also, it's a lot of women as well.
Big time.
He's not calling me back. He's not texting me back.
He didn't respond back in 3 seconds. Yeah. What? He didn't. He put too many hearts. He didn't put enough exclamation, like all of this stuff. And it's just like, chill. Mm-hmm. That's an anxious attack.
I don't do that like that, but I'm I think you and I talked about that one a little bit last episode.
Abandonment, yeah.
Oh, I'm abandonment. Yeah. Is that what I am? I
But
wait, is there an abandonment?
No.
Okay. No, the other one is avoidant.
Oh, maybe that's the one.
It's most men.
Oh, okay.
Most men are avoidant.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit of both.
And you could. There could be
a
little,
pie chart.
I'm a little mixed.
It's a pie chart.
A little bit of everything.
It's a pie chart.
Sprinkle a little bit of all of it in there for me. I got it all.
I'll take it all.
Take a little bit of all that shit.
But yeah, that avoided attachment style is like you don't ever want to get too attached to someone.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's
that's
just like, we get to that point. It's just like, nah, I'm too close.
That is us. That's what you're talking about.
I'm like 85%. Avoidance at 15% anxious.
That avoidant is that always keeping you on your toes, expecting something bad to come around the corner.
Oh shit.
Could be. Yeah.
You know, expecting that this relationship is gonna go bad.
Damn.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Yeah. You're putting that energy out there saying, hey, this relationship is gonna be trash, and then when it actually is trash, you're like, oh, see, it was trash.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
You put that out into the atmosphere and created that for yourself.
Do you see a lot of people when they come into therapy wanting to get help for, I mean, I guess we kind of touched on this, but wanting to get help because of their relationship is failing or their business is failing or their career, should I say? Hmm. Which one is more more on the side?
Good question.
A lot of the stuff that I deal, because I am a relationship expert, like a lot of the things and the clients that I see are specifically towards
for
relationship issues, right? Whether that's romantic or, like we said, family, friends, coworkers, like all of those are relationships too.
Yeah. Right.
And we don't talk about those enough. Because family and friends. Is right. Can be a whole different ball game, right? So it's not just the romantic, I'm in love or want to be in love stuff. It's nah, we got to get those family relationships together.
That is so true, because I always have the saying, like, if you cannot hold down a relationship and you're trying to figure out what's the issue, look at your relationships with your family and friends.
Mm.
Is your relationship with your friends and family always good? Or are you always falling out of your friends or your friendships? Are you always, like, cutting off another family member? Are you always having problems with different people? So I always tell people, if you can't figure out your relationship or you can't hold it down, look at the other relationships, because those aspects of yourself will still come out in close relationships that they do.
I don't know if that's fair, because and I don't know if it's our point.
You don't have to take
that. Well, this is what I'm gonna say. I get what you're saying, but I think sometimes we're like, I'll just use family for instance, because friends, it doesn't really apply to this, but We give our family passes to inflict trauma on us because they're family, right?
We didn't choose them.
We didn't choose it. And I'm not saying that there comes a certain point where maybe you do have to, you know, remove yourself from situations because it is harmful. But it takes a long time until, one, you're able to do that, you know, physically. Mm-hmm. Like, as a 15-year-old, you can't, unless you're going to sue for, you know, to emancipate yourself. Like, and that, how easy is that?
So
you're kind of stuck. And then at that point, it's getting, you know, you're getting ingrained into that culture with, you know, of allowing yourself to be traumatized under the guise of family. So I think you can have really fucked up relationships with your family, and it's not necessarily your fault that it is like that. Now, there is a burden on you after a while, if you want it to get better, to improve it on your own, because obviously your family, who has fucked you up, so to speak, is not going to go out of their way to correct those things and get you right. But I don't think it's really fair to just say, like, you know, I don't know. I could be wrong here.
I'll let JD go, and then I'll address both of you guys.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, you can't choose your family, right? You can choose your friends. You can choose your partners. I think with family, it's tough because there's so much history there. Like, oftentimes when I'll take it to personally speaking, when I fight with my mom, my sister, I'm the closest with in my family, it escalates so quick. Because we have so much resentment built up, past triggers built up, past animosity, past jealousy, right? And so we're arguing about we should have had, you know, sushi, and now we're eating pizza, and it goes back to, you were never there for me as, and I'm like, whoa, what? You know what I'm saying? So there's so much history, and with friends, most of the time, there's some history, but it's not like birth
well,
history.
Friends, I think what you said is completely fair, because you pick your friends.
Give me one thing to attack.
Yeah,
go ahead. So, one, I think that you have triggers with your family.
Yeah.
So if you are blowing up over sushi, there is some triggers in you about anger that will bleed into your relationship. Because if you, you're close with your family, but if you get in a relationship, you're going to become family with that person, depending if you're going to be a lifetime, like your wife. Those triggers will come out on your wife.
Hold on a second. That's loaded. I guess what, let me try to explain a little bit better.
And then, all right, what are you thinking?
Well, basically what I'm saying is, I think you're right, but I also don't think it's that person's fault. I don't think it's something that you can blame them for to a certain extent, because you,
I think there's triggers getting involved here, because I'm not blaming anybody. My whole point is that you have to look at the reasons why relationships fail in yourself to better yourself.
Okay. I agree with
you
that.
You can't always be like pointing the finger like, well, we don't have a good relationship because you were fucked up to me.
100% agree with you.
Right.
So if you can't get into a relationship, which is the next step from family, because you're choosing, you're going to become close with them. It's the next step. It's just as close as your family, especially if you're building a lifetime partnership. The triggers that you have with your family will show up in your relationship.
Some of them may. Not all.
Well,
think about it. If I'm not faithful as a partner in a relationship, it has nothing to do with my relationship with my mom. It's nothing to do with my relationship with my sister.
I mean, unless your mom got cheated on all the time.
It's buried in there.
No,
it's buried.
As I was saying, and I figured you were going to go there. But I guess what I'm saying is like, at the end of the day, how I am as a son will have some effect as to how I am as a husband. It'll be how I am as a father, especially because that's, you know, your parent. I just think we give family, someone said it here, we give family passes because they're family. I'm not necessarily going to give my partner a pass because of whatever happened. I'm not necessarily going to give my friend.
That would arguably be heavier with your partner than if you're giving a pass to your family.
Yeah.
And you're not giving the pass to your partner. That means that those triggers and those emotions will be even heavier. You will give less leeway for your partner.
Well, we have a mediator here. So
how do you
he said he has something else to say.
Okay, no, I would rather you step in right now.
So the funny thing is that I always say that, like, how you manage relationships as adults, all of it stems from your childhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? I think we all agree with that.
100%.
Right. Yeah.
So when you talk about family, right, it's not necessarily the relationship you have with your mom. We're talking about the whole thing, like the whole dynamic of it. So you're saying, like, you cheating on your wife. Wifey, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah, no.
But you cheated.
If a man cheated on his wife,
if a man cheated on his wife, you mentioned like, oh, that has nothing to do with my mom, but it could have been because we've all come from broken homes, or your mom could have been cheated on, or she could have been the cheater, you know, and elements of how she handled her relationships, they get passed down. And so we don't talk about the things that get passed down that's unseen.
Totally.
Okay.
I think
I think I went a different direction. I didn't.
I'm just gonna sip my drink.
Yeah. No. When I heard that, I think what I thought was the relationships that you have with your
with the tree.
with your family, like present day, meaning like if you have a messed up relationship with your family.
I stand by that though.
I think that part of that might not necessarily be your fault because
I understand what you're saying, and obviously
that's kind of I guess where I was going as
okay.
well.
But I don't. If you have nothing to go off of,
what do you mean?
If you have no relationship other than you can't hold down a romantic relationship.
Oh sure, sure, yeah.
Right.
You have to look at the other relationships in your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If granted. You may have a fucked up uncle who did some bad things to you and you don't want to talk to them, so you cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't look at that relationship.
Right.
Look at the other relationships in your life. Look at the way you communicate with your sister. Look at the way you communicate with your mom. Look at the way you communicate with the people in your life.
I agree.
That you have to find the reasons where you are like, okay, I am aiding to this relationship going sour.
Yeah.
Not the relationship that like molested you or something.
Right.
I'm not talking about those relationships.
No, yeah.
I'm talking about the relationships that you have ownership in on these things failing.
I agree.
And you can't go through life being like, all of the relationships that I have are not my fault that they went sour. There has to be ownership involved.
I 100% agree with you. I believe, I told you on the episode with, you know, dating as a guy, I was like, a red flag for me is a woman who can't take accountability.
Yeah.
That says a lot about you. If everyone else is at fault,
that's
but you, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be the next one in line. You know what I mean? But I guess what I was trying to say was
that's where I meant when I said, you think you guys have triggers with your family?
Yeah.
Because I think when you hear that, you're thinking of the person that did you wrong in your family. You're not thinking of the person you did wrong in your family.
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, I don't have a close relationship with my third cousin is what I'm trying to say. So I brought it to my mom and sister who I'm the closest with my family.
Let me, I'm being therapist mode right now. Do you have anything that you have to own from your relationship with your mom?
Of course. We all, I'm 100%.
So you did exactly what I was saying.
Which is what?
You looked at that relationship and you looked at the reasons why maybe your mom did wrong things to you, but you looked at that relationship and was like, hey, I have to take some ownership in these, and these are the character flaws that I have to change.
Totally. Because that's in my control. I can't control my mom. I can't control my partner. I can only control me.
That's my point.
I don't know what, I don't know, I have to, you know what, I'm going to have
my point.
I have to go back and listen to what
gotta
you said
go,
again.
Yeah, I'm a little.
You said
can
whatever,
you mediate for
no,
me?
No, no, I actually think we both agree with you. You just must have, whatever word you said that triggered us, that made us think, there was something in
the
there.
The word that I said that triggered you was the relationship with your family members.
No, that doesn't trigger me. There's something, you said, it was a word that made me say what?
Family members.
No. I think it was family members.
That maybe was what the trigger was.
I have
was
a good relationship with my family. Except, I mean, my father's relationship has been repaired.
But
that one's messed up, but like.
But you're saying that you can't look at those relationships because you may have not been the one that did it wrong, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying.
I was going to say that based off of what Jay was saying, that we were looking at things, or this conversation in particular, specifically about, we're thinking about the exception and not the rule, right? Mm-hmm. So we thought about all of the different ways or relationships of family, friends, coworkers, whoever, where what he said wasn't valid, right? We went to the extreme.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what I'm doing, is I'm thinking of the few people that I know who have had such fucked up family, like from birth, that what he says isn't really fair to them. And yeah. And that is, you're right, that is the rare ones. I think if I was to be fair and apply it more, you know, generally, I think he's probably right.
But I think that was some validity to it, because there will be some listeners who were saying, no, my relationships were trash from the beginning and I had no choice, right? And I think it's valid to acknowledge those people too who may be experiencing those.
And
so I can see both.
That's kind of, that's what I was experiencing.
But what are the chances that every relationship was not their fault?
No, listen, I am 1,000% a man of accountability. Yeah. I learned that from every relationship but my marriage. So I hear you when it comes to taking
even
accountability.
Let's say the people that had really bad relationships with their family, and every person in their family did them wrong. What are the chances that in their friendships, in their coworker relationships, that they are not the problem?
No, but let's stay with family. Yeah. Because what I'm trying to say is, maybe Los, you can help me out here. Like, my relationship with my dad is also repaired. I have been wanting since birth to have a great relationship with my father, the best we can have. He didn't want that. That's not my fault.
No.
I can't take that. That's my point, though. Like, you
can't. But your resentment to that can carry over into your relationship.
It can, which abandonment issues is definitely where it's going to carry over.
So that's what I mean.
But I know. But what I'm saying is, because you said like your family relationships are a good indicator how your relationships are with your romantic, and I'm like, but my relationship with my dad is not necessarily all my fault.
That's not your only family member.
My relationship with my mom is not all my fault.
That's, I know, but there are parts in there.
100% are.
So that's what I'm saying. But, I'm not saying excuse what they did. I'm saying to take ownership of where you did.
And I am agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Over and over.
So where's the but?
With that, the but is, it can't be an, we can't just sum up. So if you're on a date, okay, and let's say the guy or girl is just like, you know, you're trying to feel out this exact situation. How's his relationship with his mom? How's his relationship with his dad? How's her relationship with her dad? Does she have daddy issues? Does his dad leave him? Does he have, you know, mom issues? And you're trying to work it out, and they're like, actually, I don't have a relationship with my father. That's not an indicator as to who that person is.
I never said that.
But that's how I took it personally.
I know. So I said the beginning when I said, I think you guys have triggers when it comes to that.
Okay.
I'll repeat what I said, and I'll even like take it over again just to show.
Don't dumb it down
you.
For me. Just so, say what you
no,
guys
no,
said.
No, I'll switch it over again.
Don't save it to people
no,
in the back.
Wait.
Save
no,
it for me.
No. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna say it again, and I'll pull the other one over so that you can see that I said the same thing. I said, look at your relationships other than your romantics. Look at your relationship with your family.
Correct.
Look at your relationship with your friends. Look at those relationships to see how they are turning out. It is not limited to family. You had triggered by the family, so you went, I don't have a good relationship with the family, and it's not my fault.
Not all my fault.
And see, I have great relationships with my friends and families, and I have trash romantic relationships.
Yeah, help Los.
So I, that's another reason I don't think that's a completely accurate statement, because like that right there, my relationship with my mom, my sister, my brother, the only relationship.
Are you single by choice? Can you be in a relationship right now?
I'm probably not completely single by choice.
So you want to be in a relationship?
Somewhat. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have anything in your relationship that you pulled over from your family, since we said it earlier, abandonment?
The only, I guess, bad relationship, I'd say, and it's been repaired and it's still a work in progress, is me and my father. My mother remarried when I was like 12 or something like that. And so and my stepdad, well, it's my dad, he adopted me. Me and him and my mom, we have, you know, all good relationships there. But yeah, so the only, you know, rocky relationship that I had family-wise growing up was with my father.
He had a question to you, though. He said, could you be in a relationship now? Because you said all of your romantic relationships are trash.
I don't know. I mean, I've tried. I have issues that I have to work on. I know I do. I have stuff that holds me back that I have to take care of. I don't think I'm in a good place to be in a relationship
now. What do you think are the characteristics that you have that are flawed in the sense of where you're coming into romantics? Like, what do you think that they are?
I mean, definitely the abandonment stuff from my childhood.
What I'm saying, more so, like, how do they manifest in the relationship? Do you just, like, leave it before it's over?
Oh, no, like, I look for reasons to run. Mm. I look for, like, exit points, or I look for, once I feel like somebody's getting too close, that's when I start to, like, put my walls up even more. And a lot of times, I don't even take the walls down. Like, I have walls up to start with that, you know, they're just leave me seeming cold and uninterested and unattached to the person.
And do you think those show up in other areas besides romantics?
I don't know.
So when you're talking right now, Lewis, I'm like, that is 1,000% me. I am a person, I told you this, with my wife to this day, I'm working on letting her in, completely in. I have but that's abandonment. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's abandonment because I'm so afraid that if I don't take control of the exit strategy, you're going to leave me and I'm going to just be back to childhood, back to feeling all the things that I felt. I don't ever want to go back there. So I think anyone, correct me if I'm wrong, and that's, I think, has a lot to do with it. And that's something that, you know, I'll hold you accountable. You hold me accountable that we have to continue to work on, because the only way my wife feels like she's enough for me is if I allow her to be let in.
Right.
There's probably a lot of your exes that are probably, if they're watching, are probably sitting there thinking, hey,
I could answer that question.
if they're probably like, he never let me in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to your point, I've had people, not people, but somebody actually messaged me and was like, I've learned more about you in like 3 episodes of this podcast than I did, you know, quote unquote, dating you for over a year.
Wow.
That's deep.
Wow.
That's super deep.
But is that not growth?
That is 100% growth. Yeah. But I think he mentioned.
Can you deal with that?
Watch the podcast then.
Hey.
But what he just mentioned was, again, going back to that attachment style, that avoidant, right? Yeah. That's massive. Super massive. But one thing that I really want you to think about is if you're having great relationships with your family.
Right.
And even some of your friends, pull some of those qualities that you're engaging with your family and friends and trickle those over to the romantic ones. So it's like you got the skill set already.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like you got the tools to have healthy relationship. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. But now you just got to transfer it. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be easy because you've had a wall up. Right. But now, as you start to kind of slowly, and don't do it all at once.
I mean, and I'm mentally pushing back right now.
In my head,
I'm also cold. I'm also
it
cold.
It wasn't the arms; it was the eyes.
Okay, that's fair. Like, yeah, for sure. For
you
sure.
Did a little like
okay.
this with me.
I was gonna say, don't look at the arms. It's definitely
it is
okay.
Cold out here. It
the eyes for sure. No, because as you're saying that, I'm like, well, how the hell am I supposed like?
And that's
I'm thinking to myself, like, you're talking about romantic versus, like, platonic. Like, how the hell am I supposed to take the platonic things? It's easy. It's so easy for me to trust and vulnerable with Jared as opposed to a woman, which is really weird to me. But I find that odd.
But, Los, remember we had another episode where we talked about how you're territorial.
Yeah.
And how when I came onto the show, you were like, not really feeling a third member here.
No, I'm cold. No, I'm cold right now. There's a breeze going up my shorts. Right.
Well, but I think your apprehension of what I just said is because you know that you have it inside of you to be capable to do it. Yeah. It's just the application, the work part, right? Yeah. Because it's not going to come easy. Like, let's be clear.
Right.
It's not going to come easy because it doesn't come natural to you. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to, okay, the next girl, I'm kind of feeling her. All right, let me open up a little bit and then see how she do. Mm. Oh, that wasn't so bad. Okay, let me give her a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's going to be a process for you. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee the more you do it, then it's like building a muscle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it'll come natural to you over time. Mm-hmm. So that'll be your task. That's your homework assignment.
No, but also,
there's your therapy homework assignment.
100%. And you're already
there. But what does that mean?
Hold on.
I got one more. I got one more. You're already there because you said something earlier that you said, I don't like being comfortable. You got to be kept on your toes.
Well, yeah, but not like romantic relationships.
But what I'm saying
is, I like being comfortable there. Like,
no, but you're able to be uncomfortable in every aspect of your life, but relationships. You already know how to do it. You're just not applying it to the one thing.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So just apply it and see.
My thing is, like, what does it mean, open up more? Like, hey, you want to talk about when I was six and my dad didn't come see me?
We talked about this last episode.
But even then, I feel like I still don't really know.
Don't close I'm not going to talk. I'm going to let the therapist talk.
Yeah, we got a whole therapist here.
Don't close the door. Yeah. But also, when those conversations happen, like, allow them to happen. Sometimes we take the direction where it's just like a dead end, right? Okay. Like our closed end
question.
See,
that relates to me for sure, because there's definitely times where I've
closed in answers.
Where I'm led to the door and it's like, you can open it, and instead I'm like, let's go back down here. I don't like this door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Growth and comfort cannot coexist. You can't grow and be comfortable as hell at the same time.
With that.
It's literally 100%. Impossible. Success, failure, don't say a word, Jay. Success and failure go hand in hand. Okay.
I didn't say anything.
We had a whole episode where you didn't want to be a part of it. We were going for 3 hours. Anyways. So you have the capabilities.
Yeah.
I think you know what to do.
Yeah.
You're just literally.
Well, I do now because we've had
a therapy session.
We've had a real therapist.
The other thing is, like, remember, you're in control of the door.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to touch the doorknob and take it back because that feels like too much for you right now, you're in control of how much the door opens, closes, all of that, right? Yeah. And so. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, the way that you described it, like, in my head, the way I see it is, like, you're in my house.
My follow-up question is you have, isn't there a fine line, though, between it's my way or the highway?
That's control issues.
With what Los just said, though. Like, this is my house. If I don't want to open up that door, I'm not going to open it. If a woman is like, but what if I just want to take a peek? You know, it's always your way. It's always what you want to do, when you want to do it, when you want to talk, when you don't want to talk. Where's the balance?
I think it's also a part of, like, the comfort level, right? Because if we rush him too fast to open the door wide open and say, here's what this room looks like with all my secrets in here, right? And this person doesn't take good care.
I'm never
going
to open that door again.
He's never opening it again. Ever to anyone.
So you will change for a woman.
That's the right one?
That's what changes people.
Yep.
Women, I thought it was going to happen again. I thought I could see it happening.
I don't know what you did to God, man. He's slapping you.
He's slapping you.
He's like, wake up, motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah.
Get your ass in therapy.
Tearing down the whole set, you know.
But he would never open that door again if he let someone in, right? And that person that person also has to be ready to go into that room.
Yep.
Right? Because what if what's behind that door might be team too much for them to handle?
Yep.
And then they don't handle it with care, right? They drop the ball, and now he like, see? Mm-hmm. I knew this stuff wasn't working. Keandra was lying. Yep. F this therapy stuff, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be a careful process. Like, you have to do it inch by inch, right? Like, this is the whole chess. Not checkers.
Thank you. Well, I will say, let me be living proof to you, Los. My wife did that for me. She was that safe place. She was that safe space. Every single time. She never left. She never dimmed my light. She never made me feel, she never judged me, right? Yeah. She was constantly that person. And the beauty of her internally is that she didn't even have to say it. She just provided it for me. As I said in one of our last episodes, like the reason why I knew my first therapist was the perfect one for me is because he just listened to me. He just listened. He advised sometimes, but 90% of the time he let me talk through my stuff. So when you're around, you know, that's how I honestly feel. Like, I knew one of the reasons why my wife was the one is because I felt that safe space that I can confide and I can be vulnerable. I can be transparent. I can just be myself.
Right.
So I'm living proof and hope for you.
Cool.
We also just got to make sure that the person that he's with is your wife, have the elements of your wife, right?
Yeah, not my wife, but
not
yeah.
Not your wife.
Right.
Yeah. Is your wife.
Sorry. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not what we're saying.
Plot
here.
Twist.
Elements.
So it's cool
of
and all, but
wife.
That might be a little bit odd.
A little awkward. Yeah. No, you're right.
Because let's be real that there are some women out there who are trash who will ruin him, right? Either intentionally or unintentionally. Mm-hmm. And so he also
had I'm fragile.
And so he also have to make sure that that person is the right person to open the door for.
Right. Yeah.
And that's full circle. That's how you find a therapist. It's like dating. It's like you find that connection, that unspoken.
Well, Keandra has already made it quite clear.
She's unavailable.
That she is unavailable.
Yeah.
So.
But keep trying, Lois.
Sorry that I'm booked, but I can give
you all the resources.
We're
glad
you're booked.
We are glad you're booked.
I gave you all the
resources.
Yeah.
You did. You did.
Well, shoot. I mean, this has been a pretty amazing episode.
Before we wrap up, can you run down your books for us?
Absolutely.
One
First
more
of all,
time.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for being here.
Thank
you. Crying.
I am. I'm freezing and I'm emotional.
I was like, there's the clickbait.
I'm cold and I'm crying.
But thank you guys for having me. It's dope.
Thank you
to
for
sit
coming on.
On this couch with men, men of color, and have a candid conversation. It just doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
So shout out to y'all for doing it.
Yeah.
For thank being
you.
Honest,
thank
open,
you.
And for having me. You can find me everywhere, doggone it.
Yeah, let them know. Let the people know.
Let us know.
Where
let
they
them
can
know.
Find
where can we find you?
Jackson.
Yes, you can check me out at KeandraJackson.com.
Hey.
You can purchase all of my books there. Staying Sane in an Insane World, Hard Work or Harmony, Reach Your Greatness, The Art of Healthy Relationships, and I have a book on speaking called Speak Up.
Speak
Your
Up.
Audience awaits.
Hey.
So all of those are on there. I'd be happy to send out some
social medias.
Social media. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. All of it is at Keandra Jackson.
Bam.
And my name is spelled KIAUNDRA because y'all going to get it wrong.
We're going to put
they
in the show notes.
Yeah,
me,
it'll be
sure.
there,
oh,
but
you,
also, you know,
you.
If awesome. You're listening, you want to get a head start, there it is.
Sure.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Thanks to our guest.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
hope
to y'all.
You guys enjoyed the podcast.
The podcast. There it is.
Enjoy.